Welcome to The Grand Life, a podcast about grandparenting, exploring ways to be better at it, and connecting to those who are in it with us. I'm Emily Morgan. I believe in stories. I like to write them, to read them, and to immerse myself in them through books, movies, and even memories. The next three episodes focus on the power of story. Mostly your story. You might think there isn't much about your story that matters, but my guests would disagree. First, I talked to Felicia Cheng, a woman who started out a career in global health and ended up as a memory maker for customers all over the world. Next week, I interview Jerry Witkowski, grandfather and author who is committed to helping other people record their memories to pass down to their offspring and grandchildren. And finally, in the third episode, I interview a Scholastic book executive who helps all of us understand the power of stories in the form of books for our grands. Remember Clifford, the big red dog? Well, there is so much more to that story. First, we talk to Felicia and hear how her own story became the catalyst for helping others tell theirs. Felicia Cheng is the co-founder and CEO of Plantin, a company that focuses on capturing stories before they disappear. Felicia transformed her grandmother's story into a well-received short film, Popo's Journey, and now she puts her energies into helping others celebrate their stories. Welcome, Felicia Cheng, to The Grand Life.
Hi, Emily. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here with you.
We're glad to have your voice here. I wish we could just be sitting across from each other, but as it is, we're talking from very different places. I'm in Indiana and you are in Trinidad. Is that right?
Yes, I am in the Caribbean.
Yes.
So completely different.
Very different. But first of all, I've looked at your website. I really enjoyed your TED Talk. I listened to that as well. And I wonder if you might share your view of memories and why they are important to capture, maybe using your own personal experience to talk about this.
Yeah, of course. So I think my fascination with memory really started when I left Trinidad as an 18-year-old to go to university in Canada. I went to the University of Toronto and I was studying biology, anthropology, and chemistry. And I think it was really beginning to feel displaced in a different country in a way that I began to understand the importance of having to recount who I was to people who were so different to myself.
You see, although Felicia grew up in the Caribbean, her ancestry is Asian, an unusual combination.
I began to realize that a lot of my self-identity was wrapped up in my own stories and my own memories of who I am.
After studying in Toronto, she graduated and started to work in Ethiopia in the area of global health, feeling even more displaced with every move.
And that really solidified this idea for me that memories can help identify us or build our sense of identity as both individuals and collectively as communities. Because again, I was working in these communities so different to my own, and I began to quickly understand that it was their lived experiences and their collective memories that helped me better understand those communities that were so foreign to what I understood.
There were two pivotal events that put into sharp focus the importance for her of capturing memories: the death of someone close to her from cancer at 65, and her own living grandmother's story that she made into a film.
It was that sense of, you know, you don't have the opportunity to ask them about themselves anymore. And it really made me appreciate what that meant. And so I became quite obsessed in a way with recording my own family stories. My grandmother's story was, she was a mail order bride from China, you know, and this is like really kind of wild for this younger generations. She didn't speak a word of English. Her and my grandfather communicated by letters between Guangdong in the south of China to Trinidad, this little tiny Caribbean island. She was brought to this island in a completely like no family, nothing.
Do you you think most people find that preserving memories is important, or is it something that a lot of people have to be convinced of?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think that fundamentally and historically, we have all at some point been interested in capturing memories. For example, family albums, you know, or you go on a vacation, or you write a journal. So that is a form of capturing memories. So this shows some value. But I don't think that we fully appreciate what that value is until we have lost the opportunity. Like, it really comes in hindsight, you know? So when that time has gone in our lives and we look back, we understand, oh, what it means to have those emotional triggers that help you remember who you are and who we are as a family. And likewise, if you've lost somebody, or somebody, for example, has dementia or Alzheimer's, and you don't no longer have that ability to ask that anymore, I think that's when it really hits home of the true value of it.
Felicia's business is named Plantin, and it's a company that creates custom, bespoke books. I had only heard that term used about clothing, but it is one that is more commonly used these days to mean anything custom made for a specific person. The books are beautifully illustrated and bound and come from a collaborative process between her customer and her team at Plantin.
We provide three key areas of services. The first one is really oral interviews. So it's about helping somebody tell their story through insightful and thoughtful questioning. And our questions are, we've been doing this for over 8 years now. And so it's a mix of work from our global health backgrounds and social research and long experience now helping people kind of think through and process these moments in their life. So once we do that, we either do oral interviews, or we can send you very crafted questions and you can choose to write them out yourself. It's your story and your family's story. So it's about working together to get it, making it feel as authentic and as real as possible. The second element to what we do is historical research, and we add an element of context to stories. And the reason for that is really working in communities so different to my own, I really understood the power of this collective memory, and that memories can help you better understand the societies around you. And also, we often don't fully appreciate the impact that society is making on us. So contextual memories really help us, I think, understand the decisions at that time.
The work that Felicia has done, even in her own life, to bring stories to life always involves this kind of contextualization, the kind that they do for their customers. Remember her grandmother, the one who eventually would be the subject of her film?
She was just escaping war-torn China, you know. Back then, the concept of a mail order bride was much more normal, right?
Yeah.
So all of that really helps me as a younger person understand that. And likewise, we work with a lot of diverse populations who have often been left out of history books, or the story that has been told is very one-sided. Mm-hmm. And so we really try to put that context in to let people understand, well, this is why our ancestors have moved when they moved and these are decisions that they made. The final aspect of our work is design. And so that's taking a visual element or sound element to help you convey your memories in a way that is beautiful and that you feel really captures you. A lot of our work, we focus on intergenerational passing down of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so we're designing things with us in mind, you know, like with my kids in mind, like myself in mind. I want for a young kid to pick up something and feel excited about it, not that it feels distant and it's a history book.
I sometimes think we don't think we have good enough stories to tell. Like, our stories aren't that interesting. So maybe you could encourage us that our story does matter. And there may be people listening who would love to participate in creating a book, but they just don't think that it matters that much. What would you say to them?
Yeah, so sometimes this concept feels so huge to me, you know, and when I'm asked these questions, like when I became so interested with memory from that community perspective with Ethiopia, living in different countries, as well as having lost someone, I became really, really interested in my grandmother's story. My grandmother is by no means defined as somebody who should have a book or a film. She was not a fancy person by society standards. You know, she wasn't president of a board or anything like that. She was a mail order bride from China who came to live in this little fishing village in this Caribbean island, not speaking a word of English. When I became very interested in recording her stories, what happened was that what came out of that was a little film. And that film made it into film festivals, like in Canada, in the Caribbean. And I remember distinctly that day of taking my grandmother to the cinema. She was still didn't really understand, you know, she wasn't really like, because she felt the same way. Like so many people feel that their stories are not important. Yeah. Like, why would she think she's important? You know, like she learned to speak English in the fishing village in Trinidad, right? So yeah. She was just like, oh, my crazy grandchild. And then when I saw her actually stand in front of that audience and answer these questions, because I really honestly did not think that she would, because she has this thick Chinese accent, you know, she's never been one for the limelight. And there was this sense of pride and this sense of self-worth. And she was about 82 or 83 at the time. And I get emotional every time I talk about how I saw her, you know, as a woman in her own right at that moment. And when we were driving home, she told me she didn't think that anybody would care about who she was. That was pivotal for me, because that really, my grandmother's amazing. You know, she is phenomenal. She single-handedly raised our family when we lost so many people and her business burned down. And there are so many of us like that in the world who are, and women also, and people from diverse communities, you know, like so many of us, like who are often told that we are not valuable enough or that we don't have a right to say something. Trust me, there's a granddaughter out there like me who is going to change their life forever to be able to see you as an individual for the amazing human that you are, you know, and that will help me better understand myself, and that I am so privileged and so grateful and proud to be able to pass that on to others. And to, it helps, I think it's like a ripple out effect almost, where when you can see the amazingness of these people in your lives who may not think that they're that amazing, you give them an appreciation at that stage in their life, especially when you get older, yeah. You know, and mm-hmm. you start to feel almost irrelevant, yes. In so many ways. It really makes you understand how much you've done. It helps me as a younger person understand myself. It helps me bond with my older loved ones. And it also really gives me an insight to the rest of the world that I just never really thought about sometimes. Because when you pique that innate curiosity, I think you really more openly question who other people are.
Admittedly, all of our stories are complicated. And so when we start to really delve into them, we may have to grapple with two things. How authentic are the memories we have? And how important is it to be honest about our own struggles?
When I started off, because I do come from this kind of scientific background, it was all about this absolute truth almost, you know, like the sense of numerical truth that you have. And I think I quickly realized that memory and lived experiences are way more nuanced than that, you know, and that a lot of it is about perception. So you have famous psychologists who've delved into these issues, trying to understand, you know, what this means and how we kind of recreate or reconsolidate memory. And I think that we go in there with an understanding that what that person is capturing is what they can or what they want to capture in that moment. I think you have a responsibility for a certain level of like process with capturing that memory. But at the end of the day, it's a facilitating process of what you believe and what you feel at that point in time. How can you tell somebody, you know, that at 5 years old what they thought and at 25 years old? It's very difficult. I think you have to accept the fact that you're capturing what they are experiencing in that moment.
Felicia, sometimes, I think you mentioned this in your TED Talk, sometimes stories aren't the idealized, wonderful story, and sometimes there are hard things that we have in our stories. And you mentioned, I think, that, you know, those are important to work through as well, that hard parts of our story need to be told. Would you agree with that?
Definitely agree with it. I think that it's a huge part of self-awareness, and your own identity as an individual is working through the good and the bad. And we all have those things. You know, I think that sometimes it looks like other people don't have these difficult parts of their journey, but we all do. You know, in my experience, I really think so. And I think that it's something to be aware of as you enter your life storytelling journey or your memory journey, because it can be destabilizing. You know, I know for myself, I didn't fully understand when I started that it would be so destabilizing. But I think at that moment, you have to realize also that you have the power to take a break and to take a breather, and that it is a really deep and invaluable thing to understand yourself and others.
It is interesting to me that maybe with memories that are difficult, stories that are difficult that we have, it's not necessarily that we have to tell them, but we have to feel them. That is, we have to go through that and have the emotion that we need to get through. And like you said, it's really, you kind of have to take a breather sometimes. It's sometimes hard when you're delving into memory. But eventually, I think feeling through it and getting and thinking, then thinking through it, really does help you as an individual, helps you as a person.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it also impacts the people around you, because often we don't understand we just don't see, because you don't delve into that process, how much those memories or those life experiences have impacted you. And I think that when you stop, and actually impacted the other people in your lives too, in terms of you don't know why your grandmother might be acting a certain way until you delve into that part of her life too. And so I think when you do that, you can heal a lot of wounds, you know, and you can really break things down a little bit and be more compassionate, be more empathetic. And that influences the way you interact with other people too, and the way that you can better understand somebody else in your life and yourself.
This is the power of story, and it is a force for both healing and empathy, something we all need. Of course, the other part of the story, beyond the telling of it, is actually living it out. And I was reminded after Felicia told her moving story about her grandmother that it is equally important to live in the moment and take in a memory with all of our senses. You lived at that moment. You remember that moment with the screening and how she acted and felt, probably better because you weren't distracted by trying to, you know, take a picture of it.
Definitely true. And I guess the point of that would be now to make sure that you document that in some way.
Right.
You know, whether it is through having conversations about it or, you know, doing an illustration, whatever it is, because you want to be able to pass that down.
Right.
So that somebody else will remember it later without whatever it may have been. But you're right. It's true. That momentary thing, it's often better to live totally immersed, and I definitely come from that background. So it's very interesting to me to be in memory work right now.
Yeah, that is interesting. Well, Felicia, your own story is so powerful, just your childhood and then your adult journey. So thank you so much for joining us and helping us understand that even when stories aren't ideal, that these are important stories that need to be told. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Emily.
After hearing from Felicia, I've decided a couple of things. First, I need to take more time to soak in the present. maybe not always have my phone around to take a picture, but instead determine that nothing will come between me and that moment. Secondly, I remain committed to writing down my memories through this podcast and through special notebooks I have for each of our grandchildren. They are a place where I write things down for them, times that are special or impactful or even just sweet. I don't write often, sometimes only once a year, but I plan on giving each of them the notebook when they graduate from high school. So they might only have 18 entries, but that's 18 more than they would have if I hadn't written anything. It's a small goal, but one that I think is worthy given how important it is to share ourselves and our stories with others. In our next episode, Jerry Witkowski, a 90-plus grandparent activist, shares how he has paved the way for us all to leave an enduring legacy through our writing.
My 36-year-old granddaughter said to me one day, "Grandpa, we know nothing about your childhood. We don't know what games you played. We don't know what you did when you were in preschool or when first grade." And I said, "Wow, I have never dealt with that, and I never did." And that began the idea that we want to leave a living legacy of our life with our grandchildren.
That's next time on The Grand Life.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts and ideas for this podcast. I love hearing from every one of you. Let me share with you an email I recently received from Jocelyn in Vancouver, Washington. She wrote, "I lucked into finding your podcast while searching for a forum for grandparents in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep. There were several possibilities I checked out, but yours stood out after listening to just one episode. I binged season one the following day while doing some spring cleaning and loved every segment I selected. The time flew. You are an excellent communicator, the guests were interesting, and the topics selected in your inaugural season were fantastic. I am so glad to see that there are more seasons to enjoy." Thank you, Jocelyn. And to all of you listening, you can always email me at grandlifeconnection@gmail.com or leave me a voicemail at 317-572-7876. I've said it before, I do not pretend to be the best grandparent ever, but I will confess to believing that being one is the best thing ever. I'm Emily Morgan, and thanks for joining me in living the grand life.
This podcast was written and hosted by Emily Morgan, my grandmother. It was produced and edited by Mike Morgan, my grandfather. Email them at grandlifeconnection@gmail.com.